Okay, so let's get started. Good morning, everybody. Boker Tov. As I said, we're on Daf Yud, four lines from the top at the two dots. These are very, very long blot in terms of number of words on the blot. They're very, very interesting, fascinating, and we're starting a little bit late today because of the lateness of the first minyan, but Yezus Hashem will catch up over the week. So we begin four lines from the top. Hano Bar Yone. There were these people that were called Bar Yonim. What are Bar Yonim? So this is a very important concept for us to understand. Throughout Jewish history, we've always had people that are on the outside. That's the Tosfos Rosh says, the people that are on the outside from the chutz, and they want to be on the inside. They want to influence Klal Yisrael, but they don't have a right to. They're like robbers that are on the outside, constantly attacking Klal Yisrael. And this is not necessarily physically attacking, this is some of their concepts. The concepts are foreign to Torah, and people, unfortunately, don't have a right to an opinion if they don't have a right to an opinion. Rosh Hashanah Shlita always says that not everybody's entitled to an opinion. Jewish religion is not a democracy. Jewish religion is based upon a merit theocracy, if you wish. You have to be entitled to an opinion before you have an opinion. So that's why these people were called Bar Yonim. We find them at the times of Nebuch, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. You have the same concept. These people on the outside attacking what is the position of Chazal. It's a very terrible position to be in, and that's what caused the following story. They live in Rav Meir's neighborhood. Rav Meir was the God of Lador. Rav Meir was the person Gemara in Erevin describes was smarter than all of his colleagues. And they constantly were bothering him. Not that they were beating him up physically, but they're constantly bothering him, attacking him. And Rav Meir said, enough is enough. He felt, in his great opinion, that these people were deserving of death. They were causing, sometimes, if you're causing a destruction in Klal Yisrael, so then there has to be a time when you have to stand up and he daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they should actually die. They were, in his opinion, not worthy of being alive. The sins that they were doing were so disastrous for Klal Yisrael. The attacks on Klal Yisrael were so significant. He davened for their death. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should kill them. He wouldn't do that himself. He davened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take matters into his hand and eliminate these Bar Yonim who were so terrible to Klal Yisrael. Amale Bruria Devisu. His wife said, that's not the approach of Orthodox Jews. That's not the way we go and attack our enemies. Mai Daitcha. What is your thinking? The Pasuk says, Yitamu Chatoyim. The Pasuk says, you should eliminate the Chatoyim. So read the Pasuk carefully. Miksiv Chotim. The Pasuk doesn't say eliminate the sinners. Chatoyim Ksiv. You should eliminate the sins. And furthermore, Shvil is safe for the crop. This is a reflection on modern technology. Scroll down to the bottom of the page, right? That's what it literally means. So go down to the bottom of the page. Keep on reading the pasuk. Yitamu chatoim in aritz urishayim odei nam. And the rishayim won't be there. Now, there are two ways to understand this. I read it to you in both ways. Even the yitamu chatoim urishayim odei nam. Just because you get rid of the sinners, does it mean that there will be no more sinners? That's one way to read this. I thought the other way to read this was, if you get rid of the sinners, there will be no more sin. So it doesn't mean get rid of the sinners, it means get rid of the sin, and then there won't be any more sinners. Elaboy rachmi elavayu, you should daven for them. The lahadru b'tshuva, you should daven to Hashem, that he should put forth tzirurim of tshuva. Normally we say there's everything is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control except Yiras Shamayim. The only thing that a person normally can say is under my control is how much of a Yari Shemayim I want to be. So we learn from here that you're allowed to daven and somebody else should have Hirurim of Tshuva, that he should want to become a better Yid. So that's what Bruria, who was a great tzaddikus in her own right, we have stories throughout Shas about her. She was the daughter of Rabbi Tarfon. She was a tremendous Tamida Chachama. The Ben Yehuda says she was the equivalent of a Tana. So in any event, she was a very great person, and she could give Musa to Rav Meir, who was the God of Ladar. And she told him, you should daven that they should have Hirurim of Tshuva. And then, Urishoyim Odnam, they won't be Rishoyim anymore, but they won't be bothering you. Boy, Rachmi Velayi, he in fact davened for that, Vahodju B'Tshuva. He davened they should have Hirurim of Tshuva. And they in fact did, and they became wonderful, good people. They had Vahodju B'Tshuva. Once we had a story about Bruria, we have another story about Bruria. There's a tztuki that once said to Bruria, the tztuki throughout Shas, they're bothering the Talmidei Chacham about psukim, the Bible critics. They always were loving to darshim psukim, but you have to remember that the Torah Shebaal Peh tells us how to read the Torah Shebaksav. You can't read the Torah Shebaal Peh on your own. Somebody reads the Torah Shebaal Peh, and he reads it like it's a history book, or he reads it like he knows what the words mean, so he's making a terrible mistake. The Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebaksav were given at the same time on Har Sinai, and that a person should be able to interpret one to the other. So, see, if the pasuk says, Rani Akara, the woman who is barren should rejoice. Lo yodava, because she didn't have children. Does that make any sense? Mishum de lo yodava, Rani, because she doesn't have children, she should rejoice. Amrele, so she told him, you fool, shatya. Shvil is saving the crop. Scroll down. Keep on reading. Go down to the bottom of the pasuk, to the end of the pasuk, to see if ki rabim b'nei shomema b'nei b'ula. Because ultimately, there'll be more children for the one who's destroyed, i.e., the children of Yerushalayim that were destroyed, the Churban Beis Hamikdash, ultimately, in Lubach Hashem, we see today an unbelievable regrowth. The Ezra Hashem should continue until Moshe Mashiach, b'meir yomenu, b'nei b'ula. And they'll have more than the destroyers, than the ones that destroyed Eretz Yisrael. There'll be more children in Eretz Yisrael from Yidden than from the Goyim that destroyed us. That's a simple way to understand this pasuk. Rav Shapta Shlita sent over a wonderful drush from Rav Yoshua Salavech. He said that there are constantly people that want to become part of the Jewish nation. He saw it during the times of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Afterwards, you find many, there were children of Romans that became Gedolei Yisrael. There were many of Rabbi Akiva's Rabbeim, Shmai Bavtayim, they were Gerim. So they're constantly Gerim coming into Klai Yisrael. So Gerim can be a very positive thing, Gerim can be a negative thing. You have the level of Dol. He said, the Rav said that after World War II, you find Germans whose parents were Yimach Shemam Mezichram, high up in the SS, and Rishayim Gemurim Yimach Shemam Mezichram, so the children are learning in Bnei Brak, even today. You find the expression, the children are learning of Sancheirav in Bnei Brak, and you find that, high-level people in the German army are in Eretz Yisrael. They were Mizgaya, they're sitting and learning. So how do you account for something like that? So he says, that's what it means over here. That we're happy that there's a small number of these people. If there were too many of them, the level of the learning would have to go down. When you have a lot of people that aren't knowledgeable, so then the shiurim have to be at a lower level, which is, of course, appropriate. But he says, we're thrilled that only very high-level people have come in, only a certain cadre of people have come in, and not the masses, and therefore the learning can sustain at a higher level. Beautiful point. In any event, Amar Hashem, Ella, so that's what the pasuk says. Ella, my akara lo yolda. So what does it mean over here? Rani Knesset Yisrael, Shadom Elish Akara. So we're praising Klai Yisrael that we're compared to the barren woman, Shalom Yolda Banim, Legehenim Kavasaychel. But she types the pasuk to him, said, we have children, and our children, Baruch Hashem, are going to continue our tradition, our Mesorah. That's the greatness of Avram Avinu, that he passed on the Mesorah to Yitzchak, passes on to Yaakov, etc. We pass on our Mesorah to our children. That's what we learned in later in the blot today. We're going to learn about Chizkiyo not wanting to have children because he thought he had bad children. So in any event, our children are going to go on and become great. Your children are going to follow your terrible path and they're going to go and inherit Gehenna. Another story. How tzduki Rabbi Avo? Another tzduki. They darshan the psukim incorrectly. He said, "Ksiv mizmor l'David baruch v'ev shalom." You know that David is singing praises when he's being haunted by his son Avshalom, and Avshalom is rebelling, so he's singing praises. Ksiv l'David michtam b'baruch v'nei shalom. And it says that David sang praises when he was running away from Shaul by Mara in the cave, the famous story of the cave. So Gemara says, "Hi ma'isa havi bereishu." Which one of these two came first? So obviously, when he's running away from Avshalom, that came much afterwards when he's running away from Shaul. When he's running from Shaul, he wasn't yet the king. Now, at the end of his career, he's running away from Avshalom. So Michtei Maisa Shaul Havereisha. So obviously, Shaul happened first. Lichto Bereisha, that should be an earlier capital of Tillim. How come the Psukim in Tillim are out of order? Why are they not following the chronology? So that's what the Tztuki asked over here to Rabbi Avo. Amalei, he said, Asom de lo darshisun smuchin kashaluchu. You who don't understand the order of the Pesukim and don't understand that Kosh Baruch Hu makes smuchim. We have Hakashim, we have drushas called smuchim, where we compare this pasuk is related to that pasuk by their order. You who just darshan chronology, so everything has to follow in a set order. That's not the way the Torah is. The Torah is not a history book. The Torah is telling us ideas, and therefore, it doesn't have to follow the chronological history. As we learned yesterday in Tosfos, Ein Mukta Mumachar Batorah. So therefore, you guys have problems because it doesn't follow the chronology. So you don't understand it, but we understand it. Anon, the Darshin and Smuchim, we understand why one capital Tillim has to be next to the other capital Tillim. It can go out of order. Lo Kasha Law. We don't have a problem. Why? The Omer of Yochanan, Smuchim and Atar Minayin. First of all, where do we know that this concept is a valid methodology of Drosha? Smuchim and Atar Minayin. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Smuchim la'ad li'olam asuyim be'emes v'yoshar. So the Torah tells us this concept of smuchim in the pasuk. Fine. So lama nismuch aparshas Avshalom. Why is the capital of Tillim dealing with Avshalom, which is the third capital of Tillim? Leparshas gogumago lama rokshu, the second capital of Tillim. In other words, why does the second capital immediately get followed, dealing with gogumago, followed by the third capital dealing with Avshalom? Because if a person is going to tell you, how could you ever have a nation, Gog, Melech, Magog, rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's going to be in a time when they're going to recognize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yet they're going to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It doesn't make any sense. How could they be rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the person is going to ask that question, so he'll get his answer for the next capital of Tilim. Afatoy Marley, you can tell him, Klumiyesh Ben Shemori Ba'aviv. Can you ever imagine a son rebelling against his father? Elahava hocha. So Elahava, so hochanami hava. So yeah, it happened. Avshalom rebelled against David. So Avshalom could rebel against David. So then a great king like Gog, Melech Magog, could rebel against that Kodesh Baruch Hu. Interesting, they bring down the gematria of Gog Umagog is the gematria of 70. Which is connected. All the 70 nations of the world are going to be rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at the end, ultimately, they'll see the light. They'll all want to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that will be the days of Mashiach. What does the pasuk say? Again, we said the other day, Mishum means Rabbi Yochanan didn't live in the time of Rav Shimon Yochai, but he heard this through his rabbeim from Rav Shimon Yochai. So what's the famous capital in Eishes Chayil? The Chassid, Pia Pasuk B'Chachma V'Soris Chesed HaLashona. When we say that her mouth will open with wisdom and she'll have Torah's Chesed HaLashona. Now, that obviously is not talking about the Torah. The whole Eishes Chayil, while everybody says it to their wife, everybody says it's about the women of valor, it's really an analogy to Torah. And therefore, this pasuk can't be referring to Torah because it says Pia pasuk b'chachma v'saris chesed al hashonah. So it can't be talking about the Torah. So therefore, k'neged mi amar Shlomo mikra zeh. Who did Shlomo Melech say this pasuk about? So lo amru was said ella k'neged David Ovid shador b'chamisha olam. It was said about his father. Shlomo Melech said about his father David, who lived in five worlds. We'll see from the five baruchi nafshi type psukim that he said. So this is an allusion to that idea. I saw, however, a very interesting idea that's brought down in the Yalkut Gershoni from the Zichron Yosef, from his wife. It says over a memory in the Sefer, from his wife. And he brings down over here that men have a Yetzirah to learn. Right? There's a tremendous Yetzirah telling us not to learn Torah. So that's why men have to start off with a milsa b'didus b'dichusa. We find often, before we have a memra, so the guy starts off with a joke. Every good rabbi starts off his speech with a joke. You got to get the people interested. And the Yetzirah says, oh, they're toiling jokes. So the Yetzirah goes away, and oh, now they can go learn. But women don't have a Yetzirah to learn Torah because there's no mitzvah for a woman to learn Torah. A woman has no dinim. She doesn't have to learn Torah. If a woman could take a magic pill and know all the dinim, she theoretically wouldn't have no mitzvah to learn Torah. Of course, it's a mitzvah. She does learn Torah, but she's not mechuyevus to learn Torah. So that's why women, piyah pasuk chachma, they can start off learning right away. They don't have to start off with a joke. A good rabbi has to start off with a joke. Beautiful, beautiful idea. In any event, it says over here, David HaMelech was living in five worlds and he praised Hashem. Bar Shir in all of those worlds. So what are those five worlds? They're analogous to five life cycles in the life of a person. Dar b'Beimo, while he's still a fetus inside his mother's belly, he said Shira. Amar Shira. Shnema Baruch Hashem Hashem v'chol Krovai Yishem Kodesho. So the Krovai implies even inside his mother he was singing Shira. Again, this is metaphysical ideas over here that we recognize Hakadosh Baruch Hu, that the wondrous things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, you can recognize even from the fetus. And again, anybody who knows embryology understands how a baby's born knows that there's no better way to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yotzalaviol, and the baby's born, and he sees the unbelievable universe that HaKadosh was created, Amar Shira. Then he says Shira as well. Shema Baruch Hashem Alachav, Gibore Koach. Osei Dvaro Lishmo B'kol Dvaro. Baruch Hashem called Tzvaka V'Gomer. So again, this is an amazing thing. You come out into the world, you see the unbelievable universe that HaKadosh Baruch was created, you sing Shira. Yonak mishteyimo, when the baby suckles from his mother, he has the perfect source of food. The nistako b'dadad, he sees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set him up. He's a defenseless baby. He would die in a moment. Yeah, he can't feed a baby steak. So the baby would die if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't set up the natural process of nursing. So Amar Shira. So a person says Shira at that. Shenemar. Baruch Hinashis Hashem. V'al tishkechi kol gimulov. My kol gimulov. What do you mean the pasuk kol gimulov? Amar Revo. Sha'asul adadim b'makum bina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created women different than animals. Animals, their udders are right in the area where they procreate. By a woman, her dadim, the breasts, are not in the area where you procreate. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? He made this time of my, why? Amar Rav Yehuda, or others of the gears, so Yehuda, kidei, Rav Yehuda rather, not Rav Yehuda, kidei shalo yistako b'mokum erva. So a person, while he's suckling, even though he's a little baby, shouldn't be in the mokum erva. It says in the Gemara elsewhere, you're not supposed to look at the mokum erva. So a baby would have no choice. He's standing over there suckling, so he'd be looking at the mokum erva. If he was suckling from a cow, they're looking directly at the mokum erva. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created human beings different. The level of kedusha for human being more so than an animal. You shouldn't have to go and suckle from an area that is an area of tinofes, of of negativity, so to say, of tumah. Rabbi Ma'apolos Rishayim, the person grows older and he sees that Kosh Baruch Hu always rectifies everything and the Rishayim eventually fall. Amar Shiri, says Shiri Den. Shinema, Yitamu Chatoim in Arez, Rishon Morinom. Oh, Bachinash Yis Hashem, Halukah. That's why this whole piece of Gemara is brought in, because it quotes the pasuk that we had previously. Yistakubi Yom HaMisa, when a person is ultimately going to die and he recognizes HaKosh Baruch Hu at that point, Amar Shiri. Shinema, Bachinash Yis Hashem, Hashem Lokai, Gidalto, Ma'od, Hod Vodol Lavashta. What does that mean over here? My Mashba, that this is talking about the Yom HaMisa now. How do you know that this pasuk is referring over here to the Yom HaMisa? So the Gemara says, some aren't garbage, the last word to Yom HaMisa. In any event, I'm a rabbi of Rishila, Misefo Dinyona. Keep on scrolling down and look at the end of the pasuk. They'll say, Tastir Ponecho Yivayalun, Tosev Rucham Yigvon. So it says over there, that's a reference to the Yom HaMisa. The end of that pasuk is actually the Vegomer, is referring to the Yom HaMisa. So therefore, that's what this pasuk is referring to. The five praises, the five Baruch Nafshis or Baruch Hu that we have over here are the five stages of life, if you wish, five times that David HaMelech praised that Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rishim Marukva, Gamri Lo Marukva, Havishchich Kamei Rav Shimon Ben Pazi. They were learning by Rav Shimon Ben Pazi, whoever it was, either Rav Shimon Barukva or Marukva himself. Davim Masadar Agadat Kamei Rav Shimon Levi. And they were learning Agadat to Gemara's like ours in front of Shimon Levi. Amalei, they said to him, Ma'i Dixiv, what does the pasuk mean? Baruch Nafshis Hashem, B'chol Kavai Hashem Kodesho. So what is that pasuk that we just dashed? What does it mean? So Amalei told them, Bar Reish Lo Kmidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Bas V'Dam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts in different ways than a human being acts. A human being, Midas Bas V'Dam, Tzor Tzura Gabi Yakoso. The cavemen, they drew pictures on the walls, they don't come to life. Ve'inu Yochol La'atu Bo Ruach Hu Neshama Kirbayim V'nei Meyayim. There's nothing, it's just a picture. It's a structure that a man can make, but he can't make it live. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Einu Kein, he does it differently. The caveman, he draws it right on the wall, right in front of him, and he can't breathe life into it. And nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzar Tzura B'Sal Tzura, he makes a life inside a life, so it's not easily accessible. Umatubo, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he can put in it Ruach Chayim, Neshama, Kirbayim, Uvnei Meyayim. He can create a person out of nothing. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make Yesh Me'ayim. That's something that scientists can't do. They say, oh, the famous joke that the scientists said, oh, we can do everything. Said to God, well, we can do everything you can do. We with DNA today, we can go make CRISPR, we can do all those sorts of technologies. We can make life today, right? We can do all sorts of things to an embryo, PGD, in vitro fertilization. So they said that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kavayachol. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, show me, let's see. So he said, okay, give me some DNA. He said, go get your own DNA. So the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make Yesh Meyayin. He can make everything from nothing. We scientists, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us technology, but we need the building blocks. We can't make DNA from nothing. So that's the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can make a tzura even within a tzura, and we can't even make a tzura outside. This is what Chana said. Ain kadosh kashem ki ein biltecho ve'ein tzur kelokeinu. That's Chana used the expression. There's no rock. There's no tzur like our God. But it's a play on the word tzur. My ain tzur kelokeinu. What does it mean? There's no rock like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A play on the word tzur. Ain tzayor kelokeinu. There's no designer like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does she say also? Ki ein biltecho. My ki ein biltecho. Well, darsh the end of the pasuk. Darsh the middle of the pasuk. I'm reviewing the Menasya. Al tikri ki ein biltecho. It's another play on words over here to show you the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu compared to man. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so vastly different than us. Yet, we think we're sometimes, people are arrogant, they say they know better than God. What's the normal way a man makes things? Right? The Colosseum and its ruins are still there. The Romans were built in a long gone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevalo ma'asav. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu outlives all of his creations. Anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes, he's going to outlive. So that's the difference again between the eternity, the omnipotence, the incapability for us to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a boss of a dog. Amalei, he says, I know Hachikah mean the law. No, that wasn't my question. They said to Rav Pazi, Yeshua and Pazi, or they learned in front of him, in front of Yeshua and Levi. He said, that wasn't our question. This is our question. Hani Chamisha Baruch Hinavshis, the five Baruch Hinavshis, Kineged Mi'amr and David. Who are they Kineged? Why are there five specifically and not more? So Lo Amor, Ela Kineged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kineged Neshama. They're stated, these five things, Kineged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Neshama that he put into all of us. Neshama Shenasat V'Kirbi. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malei Kol HaOlam. Just the way the Neshama is like a little bit HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside each and every one of us. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the entire cosmos, so each person is like an individual cosmos himself, has a little bit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, inside of him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world. Neshama Malei is called a Gof. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, right? Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is really everywhere, right? Truly everywhere. That's the state in the pasuk, right? So therefore, Hashem is everywhere. And so too, the Neshama, so to say, is everywhere in your body. Don't specifically, oh, the Shama is where the heart is, the Shama is where the kidneys are. No, the Shama is everywhere. the neshama can't be seen, just like HaKadosh Baruch can't be seen. Hashem sees everything, but you can't see him. So too, after neshama roa, there ain't no nearest. So too, the neshama sees everything, but it can't be seen. That's two. Number three, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is olam kulo. Hashem supports the entire world. He said it's such an essential ikra. The person would be a ben olam above. He says this three times a day, and he understands it and means it and inculcates it into himself and internalizes it into himself. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu supports every creature in the world. After neshama zone, it's called a guf. The minute the neshama leaves, the body falls down dead. Right? The body has zero abilities to sustain itself. It's all the neshama that sustains the body. Ma'akosh Baruch Hu Torah, after neshama Torah, just like Kosh Baruch Hu is the absolute purity, so to the neshama, absolute purity. And the fifth one, Ma'akosh Baruch Hu Yoshev B'chad V'chadarim, after neshama Yoshev B'chad V'chadarim. Kosh Baruch Hu is in his innermost highest Kedusha places, so to the neshama has within the body its innermost highest Kedusha places. So therefore, these five praises, Yavo Mishi Yeshbo Chamisha Dvarim Alalu, person who has a neshama, that has all these five characteristics, the Yishbach Lemishi Yeshbo Chamisha Dvarim Alalu, he will go and praise the HaKadosh Baruch Hu that has these five things as well. The Bereishis Rabbah brings down that there's five aspects to the neshama, Ruach, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida, whatever that means, and this is also connected to that very high, lofty spiritual concept. I'm Rav Nuna. My disciple Rav Nuna says, "What's the pasuk mean when it says, 'Mikach Chacham Miyadei Peisha Dabar'? Who is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mikach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shiyodei Lasos Peshara Ben Shnei Tzadikim. Nobody can be the perfect compromiser like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was something that both of them were right, and yet one of them was wrong, and they had to rectify the situation. And this is the famous machlokas between Tzadikim Ben Chizkiyo Lishayo. Unfortunately, sometimes even great Talmidei Chachamim can have differences of opinion, and they have to find a way to do Pshara. Here, there was no way they could do Pshara, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to, so to say, step in and make the Pshara, the compromise over here. Right? Mayim Psharim, we say, what is it, a lukewarm? It's a Pshara. It's not hot, it's not cold. It's a Pshara. That's why we get the word Pshara, that they're lukewarm. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one that can make a Pshara over here to figure out a way how to make peace between Chizkiyo and Yeshayo. Chizkiyo was one of the greatest kings of all time. Yeshayo was one of the greatest Nevi'im of all time. And they had a sichsuch. They had a certain problem. What was the problem? Amar, Chizkiyo said, Amar Lesi Yeshayo Gaboy. The Hachi Ashkel Milyo. Dosa Gabi Achav. Who should come to who? They had to have a discussion. So who should come to? So the Melech said, the Navi should come to me. Just like we find the Navi Elio, the Ozal Gabi Achav. He went to King Achav. As the pasuk says, the leader, they're not the leader. Shnei Mavi Elech Elio, Larosis Achav, El Achav. So the king said, the Navi should come to me. That's the precedent. We follow precedent. Elio went to Achav. And Yeshaya said, no, I'm a lazy Chizkiyo, Lugaboy. Elio should come, the Yeshaya said that Chizkiyo should come to me. The king should come to the Navi. The Yashkom be Yorim and Achav. Yorim and Achav, Ozal Gabi Elisha. So who should go to who? So it was a standoff. And neither one, all the Mepharshim point out, neither one did it out of their own covet. They each did it for the covet of their position. Chizkiyo on his own would have zero covet interest. Yeshaya on his own have zero covet interest. They had to stand up for the covet of the Malchus, the covet of the Nevuah. So therefore, they weren't doing this for their own personal, right? You read this, oh, Bali Gaiva, Bali Gaiva. Rechman al-Islam, all the poskim say, they're doing this for the position. You're not, Melech Shemoch al-Kodo, ain't a machal. You're not allowed to. So each of them did it from a position that, it's not me. I'd go on my own. I don't care for the kavod. But the position requires a kavod. So they were at a standoff. So Ma'asar HaKadosh Baruch, HaKadosh Baruch said, I'll figure it out for them. Hey, the Yisroel Malchizyo, me Chizyo get sick. And therefore, Ramallah Lishaya, Lechu Bakris Achola, by Cholim, even a great person goes to a not so great person. We learn this out from Avram Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to visit Avram Avinu. So Avram Avinu, as great as he was, is a gornish compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit him. So therefore, whoever thinks that they're greater, whoever thinks that their position is greater, now I make it that Yeshaya has to come to Chizkiyo, so we solve the problem. Shenema, but Yom Mehem, Cholim Chizkiyo Lamus. Chizkiyo got a disease that nobody ever survived from. So Yeshaya had to come and visit him, do bikur cholim. Vayomer Elav, he also came with the vua. He said, call my Hashem. Now, the word tzvach is not in the pasuk, we delete it. Tzav leveischa, go and put your last will and testament together. Kimei satok, because you're going to die, below sechaya v'gomer, and you're not going to live. So obviously it's redundant. If you're going to die, you're obviously going to live. So why? The pasuk is obviously asking over here, the Gemara asks, what does the pasuk mean? Kimei satok, below sechaya. You're going to die, mei satok, b'yolam hazeh, below sechaya lo mabah. So double death over here. It's not enough that you're going to die in this world, and you'll have all your eternity for all future time. He said, no, you're not even going to have eternity. You're not going to have your olam hazeh. So what sin did he do? What's Yeshaya coming with a Navi message over here to Chizkiyo HaMelech that you did a terrible sin? So I'm like, my kuliai, what'd I do? Amalei said, Mishum de lo asakta be period of the rivia, because he didn't engage in period of the rivia. Chizkiah HaMelech did not get married. He saw through Ruach HaKodesh. He had Nevuah. He saw through Ruach HaKodesh that he was going to have horrible children, which he in fact did. And he said, better not to have horrible children than to have children that are going to be a source of less than Nachas Ruach to me and to HaKodesh Baruch Hu. He had Rishayim. Menashe says one of the four kings that potentially lost his share in the Olam Haba. Although the answer to Yechizkiah ultimately did tshuva. There is a Yushami and others that suggest that at the end of his life he did tshuva. So therefore, there's always hope for somebody. So in any event, Chizkiyahu said, it's not worthwhile having such children. Lo asakta b'period b'rivya. I always point out the Maharsha says, what does it mean, asakta? It means you didn't try to have children. Not that you had children. You didn't try to get married. And the Maharsha says, you didn't try to make shiduchim. Everybody has to be involved in trying to make shiduchim for other people. That's what it means, asakta b'period b'rivya. That'll be one of the questions. We're in Shabbos and Kufiyut Tes tells us that's one of the questions on the final exam. When the person is 120, they're going to say, asakta b'period b'rivya. Not that you have children. The person can't control if he's going to have children. Today with technology, more people are able to have children than before. In previous generations, they certainly didn't have an option. If they couldn't have children, they couldn't have children. Even today, with all the technology, there's still, unfortunately, people that can't have children physiologically. And there are also people that just can't find their basher. So therefore, did you try? That's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked. So he said, Chizkiyahu, you didn't try. So I'm like, Mishum Dechazoy, Libi Ruach HaKodesh. I saw through Ruach HaKodesh. The Novak Minoi Benin, the Lo Malu. I saw I was going to have horrible children. I saw my son is going to be Menashe Melech, the longest reigning king, 55 years, and most, if not all, of that time was Bereishis. Again, the Yerushalmi brings down that he did tshuva at the end. Famous story. We don't have time for it right now. But he dug a special tunnel underneath the Kisei HaKavod because the Malachim was standing guard and said, you can't come in here. And he made a tunnel and he got to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he did tshuva. Again, a very strange story. In any event, I'm like, Bahadi Kibshi Rahman Alamloch. So Ishai gave him Musa. He said, that's not your business to delve into these private areas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, have children. Don't start going and saying over here, I know better. Again, this is one of the major sins that especially smart people, especially good people, they sometimes do. They say, I know better than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And nobody ever knows better than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So people have to be very careful when they say things against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So he told him, Bahadi Kibshi Rahman, these hidden things of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Alamloch, what are you getting involved over here? God said, Do what God asks you to do. Don't start making your own cheshbonos. That's what you should do. So Chizkiyahu takes the Musar. He says, Hashta, Havli Bratach. So he says to Yeshaya, maybe in your zechus and my zechus, we'll be zocha to reverse this Ruach HaKodesh that will have a horrible son. So he tells Yeshaya, give me your daughter to marry. Yeshaya says, Mazel Tov. And they had a vote right there. And they made the Shirach. So that's exactly what they did. Yishai gave his daughter, and again, Yishai ended up being killed by Menashe. His own grandson killed him. Menashe was a horrible king. He not only went off the derech, worshiped the Vodazar, did all sorts of horrible things. He killed his own grandfather. He killed Yishaya. Nevertheless, B'kivshi Rachmana, you shouldn't get involved over here. Who says you have a right to go and deal with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is planning in the world? You're supposed to do your job, do the best you can, and the chips will fall where they meet. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's problem, so to say. Amalei, so now Yeshaya tells him it's going to be too late. Kvar nigzor alech gzera. But the gzera is, you may get married, but you're going to die over here. Hashem made gzera. So Chizkiyahu gives now Yeshaya a little bit of Musa. I'm like Ben Amos. When you use the last name over here, Ben Amos, that's not a nice sign. Before I should bring down over here, Magid Taluma and others that bring down over here, that the Beis Yosef say that when you use somebody called by last name, Ben Amram, right? When they start up with somebody, they call them by their father's name, so that's a sign that, I'm dismissing you. You call somebody by their first name, so then that's a sign of Chiba. So you call him Ben Amos, you the son of Amos. Stop your nevuah. In other words, stop saying your nevuah, because the more you say it, the more it has to come true. So the less you magnify something, so the it's harder to take it back, so to say. So stop your nevuah, because let's say, I know from my father's house, all the way back from David HaMelech, even if you have a very sharp sword on somebody's neck, it's never too late to ask for tshuva. Never too late to ask Hashem. No matter how bad things are, we always ask Hashem for mercy. And he called him Ben Amos. He says, yeah, you're from the same royal family. Because Amos and Amatsya was a king. So Yeshaya also was from the royal family. He says, how come you don't know this? This is a tradition in our family. So he said, we never give up. Never too late. In Renami, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, it should be. Because Rabbi Yochanan's Talmud was Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar was a Rabbi years before. In any event, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, the Amri Tavai, they both said the same exact thing. Afilu Cherib Chida, Munachas al Savor, Shalom, if you have a sharp sword on your neck, Ayim na Atzmi Rachman, never give up hope. Shinemar, Hashem Yiktileni, Lo Ayachel. Lo is spelled with an Aleph in the Torah, but it's pronounced with a Lam, with a Vav. So it means, even if you kill me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if you're about to kill me, I still look to you. In other words, I never give up hope. I always ask rachamim from you. Now, looks like we're supposed to turn the page over here and go to the Omer Beis. But don't. Look at the Hagos HaBach, Oz Beis. He tells us, he fills in a little bit of the story over here. So what happened? They got married and they had children. Mazel tov. They had twins. They had two children, Menashe and Rav Shake. And one day Chizkiyahu is carrying the both on his shoulders. Imagine that picture. The Chizkiyahu the Melech is carrying his two kids on yeshiva on his shoulders. And Menashe and Rav Shaki are talking up there, and they say horrible things. One says to the other, oh, our bald father said that'd be great to break gourds on his head. And Menashe said that to Rav Shaki. Rav Shaki said, no, it'd be much better to sacrifice Avodah Zarah on his head. And he was so shocked that he dropped him. He says, this is the sons? This is what I'm raising over here? He dropped him. Rav Shaki died, and Menashe lived. And Menashe ended up being the wicked king Menashe that he was. It was brought down over here in the Agot HaBachos Beis, and it's much more detailed elsewhere in there. Got it, the literature. In any event, Chizkiyahu was correct, but incorrect. He was correct. He would have a terrible son Menashe. He's supposed to do everything he can to try to change that. And some say that that's the schus that Menashe had, was he ultimately did tshuva. Now we can turn to the Omer Beis. Amar Chanan, Afilu Baal Chalomos, even over here, if the Baal Chalomos, in other words, you have these visions over here. Omer L'Yodam L'mochu Meis, that you're going to die tomorrow. Ayim Na'atzman Arachman, never give up hope. Shinemar, Kibiro Chalomos V'Aveilim V'Dvorim Harbei, Kies Alakem Yiro. There's always hope. Never, ever give up hope. No matter how bad things are, you dive into Hashem, things can change in an instant. Miyad. So what happened over here? Vayosef Chizkiyahu Ponav El Hakir V'Yisfal Hashem. So he immediately goes and dives into Hashem by the wall. What does that mean? We'll see in a moment. My kir, what does it mean? The wall? I'm Rishim Lakish. Mikiros libo, from the depths of his heart, from the walls of his inner chambers of his heart. Shemar, may I, ochilo, kiros libi vegomer. That I go over here and I dive into HaKadosh Baruch from the depths of my heart. Yerushalmi continues the vegomer over here, and it says, there's more of a gears over here. He says, I looked at all 248 the limbs that you gave me, that I ever got you angry from any one of them. So therefore, please give me, not even one of my limbs got you upset, so to say. I didn't do a sin with any of my limbs, so please save all of me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the pasuk is saying over here. From Kiro Slibi. Levi Amar Aliski Akir, regarding the wall. We'll see in a moment what is the wall. Amar Lefani Yosh Shalom. Chizkiyahu tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uma Shunamis, the Isha HaShunamis, the famous story where she had a child and she goes to Elisha and resuscitate the child. That child, by the way, was the Navi Chabakuk, according to many. So the little child that died, so she runs to Elisha to save him. Uma Shunamis, Shalo Oso Elokir, Achas Kitano, Hechiesu Esmino. All she did was make one wall. We'll see in a moment what wall she made and why singular and not plural. She made one wall for the Navi Elisha, and yet you saved her child. So, Avi Ava, my great-great-grandfather, Shlomo HaMelech, Shechipo Sahechal, Kula Bechezav Zom, Allah has come of a Kama, how much more so? And the Ivan says over here, Shol Yichal Zaro, that you shouldn't let his Zera die. So, in other words, she made one little wall for you, and you're so happy you saved the son. So much of being a Kal V'chomer. My father, my great-great-grandfather, my descent, the people that came before me, my ancestors, Shlomo HaMelech, he built the entire base of Egypt. He made many, many walls of gold and silver. So certainly you should save me. And furthermore, he says, the Mefarsh says, it's a Kal V'chomer. The baby Chabakuk was already dead, and I'm not dead. So Allah has come to come. If you resuscitated somebody and brought somebody back to life, certainly you can keep me alive that I'm not yet dead. So he says, Zuchor nu es asher isalachti l'fonecha be'emes uvelev sholem v'atov v'necho sisi. So he says to Hashem, save me because I'm so good. We'll see in the Gemara in a moment, that's not a good way to pray to Hashem. And he'll be, so to say, punished for praying in this way, although he is saved. So my v'atov v'necho sisi. What does it mean that he did such a good thing? Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, shesomach yula l'tvila. Now we understand why this story is over here. Because once, at least, he was Samach Gula Tvila like the Vasikin. That's how the Mefarshim explains it. Because everybody's Samach Gula Tvila every day. That's a big deal. But to do it, like we said, like the Vasikin, they didn't have clocks. They didn't know exact times. So therefore, that was a great thing. So he says, I was either regular, or at least I did it sometimes. I was Zolcha to be Samach Gula Tvila. So save me for that great, great, great mitzvah. Rav Levi Amar, he says a different reason. Shugana Sefer Rufuos. There was a Sefer Rufuos. And everybody said, oh, I have something wrong with me. I'll just go to the doctor, and the doctor will take care of it. and nobody davened to Hashem for mercy. Nobody davened to Hashem. I'm sorry, chazarti b'tshuva. I want to do tshuva over here because of my sickness. People don't realize sickness comes because people are doing things wrong. We can't always point it out. And Rahman al-Sani, I always say, you can never say somebody's sick, he's a Rasha. But everything happens because of a purpose. So everybody goes to the doctor. They have the safer refuels. And therefore, nobody was davening to Hashem. So you know what Chizkiyahu did? He says, I could be healed from the Sefer Refuos, but I hid it away, and I didn't go and take it back. So save me, because I'm turning to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not turning to the world of Refuah to go and save me. In other words, you have to always look to Hashem. Now, we have Hashtadlus, we have a mitzvah that we have to go to the doctor. That's Opsah. The Ramban learns this Gemara differently. He says, you're not allowed to go to the doctor, but we don't pass like the Ramban. So we pass that you're supposed to go to the doctor. You're required to go to the doctor. It's a mitzvah to go to the doctor. You have to do your Hashtadlus. What exactly was the Sefer Refuos is a big discussion. Some say that B'nai Noach made this. Others say that it was secular knowledge. The Rambam says it was talismans and all sorts of astrology stuff, which had koichos in those days. And others say it was from other Rishon. Exactly what the Sefer Refuos was, open to discussion. And he hid it away. He did six things. Elsewhere, Pesachim tells us that three of them, the rabbis were happy that he did. Three of the rabbis were not happy that he did. So hodulo, I'll give hodul, gimel hodulo. Three that he was happy about. The rabbis were happy that he did. Gone on Sefer Refuos, that he hid away the Sefer Refuos. So that was a good thing. Because again, it caused people to turn to Hashem and not turn to just secular medicine and forget about Hashem. Vodulo, the rabbi said the good idea. Causes nechosha, nechosha is vodulo. He destroyed the famous Nechash and Nechoshes when there was the plague in the desert. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look at the sky. He didn't look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he said, look up at this Nechash and Nechoshes they made. So this they kept around for a long period of time. And everybody, they used this like as a Avodah Zarah almost. They used it in all sorts of improper ways. So therefore, Chizkiyahu destroyed this as well. So, and Hodulo, the rabbi said, good gezuk, what you did. Girat almost of it, Amitah Shechaverim, Hodulo. And he dragged his father, after his father died, his father Ochuz was a Rasha. And he dragged his body with ropes through the city instead of putting him in a golden bier and putting him in a proper cover for a melech. And he did this. How could he do this? Lack of cover, kibud of aim. So some say his father had thrown him into a fire. The famous story that Chizkiyahu was thrown into a fire. He was thrown in to be worshipped by Molech. And his mother coated him with a salamander, whatever that exactly is, and he survived. So his father lost the rights to be called his father because his father tried to kill him. That's one shot. Others say his father was a Rasha, and you only mechayev to give kibud avim to a father who's a Rasha during his lifetime, but not post his lifetime. But I think the simplest shot is that he wanted to give his father a hanocha. This was good for his father. It says that if a person is his burial doesn't go so well, that's actually a kapara for the person. If it rains at a funeral, people go, no, it's actually good for the guy that's raining. It's an additional kapara that even his funeral doesn't go so smoothly. So he wanted to give his father a kapara over here. His father was a Rasha, but he loved his father, and he wanted his father to get a kapara. He said, better he'd be dragged around over here, and everybody should be mevayizim, so this way he'll get more kapara in this world and have less ownership in the world to come. In any event, all three of these things the rabbi said, good gezuk, you did good over here. Gimel lohodlo, but three he did that they didn't agree with. Number one, sasa megichav lohodlo. When Sancheiriv marched on Yerushalayim, so he closed off the water supply of Yerushalayim, so they wouldn't have water, but also the people in Yerushalayim didn't have water. This is the Meshi Loach over here that we have. They think we know where it is today. This is not the Gichon over here that is in Pras. So that's what Rashi points out. It's not the big Gichon, it's a smaller, the Shiloach that we have today, that we think we know where it is, with Chizkiyahu's water channels. So, number one, they didn't like that because you shouldn't shut off the water to Yerushalayim. Should have had more emunah in Hashem. Keith says, Dalsos Hechol v'shigun l'melech Asher. You paid off bribe. You had to give all the money and gold that we had in the treasury, and there wasn't enough. So you then cut off the golden doors, the sharim in the Beis Hamikdash, to send to him. You should have had more emunah that Hashem should have will save you instead of trying to bribe Melech Asher. Lohodlo, the rabbis weren't happy about that. And the third thing is, Ovi Nisan Benitzav Lohodlo. He made a leap year, he made another Sheni when it was already Nisan. And the rabbi said, you can't do that. You're only allowed to make a leap year during the month of Adar. You can't make it during the month of Nisan. So the Gemara says, how can you do this? Don't you know the basic drash over here, that the only month that's allowed to be a leap year is Adar and make it Adar Sheni? Because Nisan has to be the first month of the year. HaKodesh Zeh Lechem Rosh Chodoshim. Zeh Nisan, Min Achar Nisan. So nobody else can be the first month. But if you made Adar Sheni after already was Nisan, so then Nisan is the second month of the year. How could Chizkiyahu do that? Everybody knows you're not allowed to do that. Someone says, Elu Tobi Shmuel. He made a little mistake in what Shmuel had taught us. Tobi Shmuel, Ein Ma'avid HaSashonim B'Yom Shloshim Shal Adar. Adar could be 29 days or 30 days. So once it's the 30th day, it still could be called Adar, But you're not supposed to call it all the dead. Once it's the 30th day, it's that potential to be Nisan, then you don't make a leap year, a leap month anymore. And therefore, however royal the kavu Nisan, since it could already be Nisan, it's too late to make it other Sheni. Savar, but however roy lo amrina. And he made the mistake, Chizko didn't know this drash of Shmuel, he didn't hold in this drash of Shmuel, and he made a leap year that year, because of reasons I'll tell you in a moment. So therefore, he made a leap year that year, and they were ma'abir, they made a second other Sheni on the 30th day of other Rishon, so it still wasn't at Nisan, but it really could potential to be Nisan, he shouldn't have done it. So the rabbis were unhappy that he did this. Why did he do this? Because there were a lot of people that had worshipped Avodah Zarah, and they liked Tmei Mason, and he was really, really bringing back people. Chizkiyahu was a great king. According to some, he could have been Mashiach. According to others, he was Mashiach. He was Mashiach ben Yosef. So Chizkiyahu was an unbelievably great king. And therefore, he said, I need more people to be tar for the Korban Pesach. And therefore, he said, we need an extra month to make everybody tar for the Korban Pesach. But he made a mistake. He didn't do it at the right time. The rabbis weren't happy. If you go and say, Hashem, save me from me, like Chizkiyahu did, then Hashem will save him, but in the chutz of somebody else, and not give you the pleasure of knowing that you deserve to be saved. It's only because of somebody else that you got saved. But if you say, Hashem, I'm not worthy, save me in the chutz of somebody else, so then, in that situation, you'll get saved in your own schos. Tolu lo b'schus atzvo. Moshe tolu b'schus achayim. Mishnei amaz chol yavro mizikli Yisrael. Avodecha tolu lo b'schus atzvo. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, save me because of the avos. He was saved. Mishnei amar. B'yom alash b'dayim. Lulei Moshe b'chiro. Amad b'parets l'fonav. L'hoshiv chamos b'yashchis. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was saved in his own merit. Klal Yisrael was saved in his merit rather than the schos of avos that he asked it for. Chizkiyahu tolu b'schus atzvo. Chizkiyahu said, save me because I'm so great. Therefore, tolu lo b'schus achayim. He wasn't saved in his own merit, so to say. Shnemar v'ganosi Eloir, I will save you. Hashem said, the city of Yerushalayim wasn't destroyed by Sancheiriv. Hazos lohoshia l'mani because of my being, because I'd say so. Uleman David Avdi, because of David, not because of you. And finally, Rishum Lakish, Dom Rishum Lakish. My disciple was supposed to say, Hine l'shalom marli mar. Why did Chizkiyahu say marli mar? So it's a double lush, the Marsha says. Afil b'shal sheshigul akosh b'ruch shalom. Hashem saves him, nevertheless marulo. So the first mar is that you made me get sick. And the second mar is that I had to get better. I was healed, not in my own merit, but in the merit of David Melech. Okay, we'll stop over here.